Well, as I said, today is Christ the King Sunday. And today we hold up the Christian doctrine, the Christian belief that Jesus Christ will come again. And when he comes again, we are all called to gather before our King who will judge us. For Christians, it need not be a scary thing. For us, it's a wonderful thing. And today I want to talk about what this is all about. And I want to talk about it in the image of bowing before our Lord. In football, there's a play. It's called Taking a Knee, right? It's a play you like to see if it's your team doing it. It's also called the Victory Formation, where you know the game is won, and all you do is you huddle around the quarterback who takes the snap, and he just goes down on a knee. There was another very famous knee, taking a knee in football a few years ago with Tim Tebow, who excited a lot of people, also upset a lot of people because of his Christian faith. And when he took a knee, he was doing it for a different purpose. And I was just thought this week in one of those brilliant insights I get once every 5 years that Tim Tebow even has the word bow in his name. And you're going to go, ooh, Pastor Paul, that was really deep. You're really good. Thank you very much. But it is an important image because as Christians, we are called to be those who bow our knee before our King Jesus. There's a wonderful passage I'm going to talk about a little later in my message from Philippians chapter 2. It's a hymn to Jesus. And here the Apostle Paul says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess, every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the last day of our church year. And this is a day we take to remember what we confess every week in the Apostles' Creed, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and our confession that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in Christ the King, the one who is coming. Now, we have lots of different images of Jesus, a lot of very famous and well-known images of Jesus. There is Jesus, the tiny little baby in the manger, as we start Advent next week. That will be at the forefront of our minds. There is Jesus, the one who gathered the children, who took them in his arms and who blessed them. We have the image of Jesus, the miracle worker, who reached out to heal those who were sick and infirm or cast out. In John's Gospel, there's the image of Jesus, who is the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. All the images of Jesus, who is the teacher. And of course, Jesus, the image of Jesus who died on the cross for you and me, and the image of Jesus, the one who was raised from the dead. But on Christ the King Sunday, we have another image of Jesus. The image of the one whom the Bible calls the one who was, who is, and who is to come. And on this day, we focus on Christ, the one who is to come, because our Christian faith says that our King Jesus is coming. And when he comes, he won't come as the cute little baby in the manger. He won't come as the humble teacher from Nazareth. He will come as the King and Judge of the world, and that will be a mighty and glorious thing. Now, Christians have been awaiting this day for 2,000 years. And we love to speculate on this day, the who, what, when, where, hows of Jesus' second coming. Go to any Christian bookstore and you will see book after book after book after book on the second coming of Jesus. But Jesus makes something very clear about his second coming. Even he didn't know when it was going to happen. And everyone who's ever tried to figure it out has been wrong. But there's one thing we need to keep in mind, one thing that is central. We're going to talk about this in our adult forum today. What's the most important thing for us to keep in mind with regard to Jesus' second coming? This. Are we ready for it? Because you see, the key question is not when it'll happen. The key question is, are you ready for it to happen? 2 weeks ago, we had the parable of the bridesmaids who were waiting because the bridegroom was late. They didn't know when he was coming. Last week, we had the parable of the talents, where the master goes away and his servants don't know when he's coming back. The key thing for Christians when it comes to the second coming of Christ is we don't know when it's going to be, so we need to live as though we are prepared. And that preparation is central to our understanding of what it means to bow down before Jesus our King. Because giving our King honor and majesty is central to who we are and how we are called to live. Now let's be honest. There are a lot of people who couldn't care less about Jesus. Some of them actually are in the church. But there are a lot of people who don't really care about when Jesus comes again. They don't care about Jesus because Jesus isn't a big deal to them. He's a guy. He was maybe a teacher. He did some things. There are a lot of people who are too busy to think about Jesus, or they just never have taken the time to seriously consider who Jesus is. That can't be us. We have to be those who have that proverbial light bulb. I should probably stand right under it, right? The proverbial light bulb go off in our heads to know and be amazed at who Jesus is and what He has done for us. Christians, I firmly believe, we need to live with a sense of awe in our lives when it comes to Jesus. How wonderful it is when we have those moments where it's, whoa, when we are just overwhelmed with something. One of my favorite movies is Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It's a long time ago, in 1977. But it's the movie, if you've not seen it, where Earth makes contact with extraterrestrials, and there's this big hush-hush thing, and a secret facility is built on top of, what's it called, Devil's Mountain, or whatever it's called. What is it? Devil's Tower, somewhere out west. And I love the scene when the alien ships arrive, and all the scientists are there watching this, and it's this light show with music, and they're just like that. I love that image. Because that's the kind of sense of awe God wants us to have when it comes to Jesus. We need to stand before Jesus with a sense of awe and wonder so that we can bow our knees before Jesus with a sense of awe and wonder. What does Paul tell those Christians so long ago in Ephesus? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you and the riches of His glorious inheritance to the saints. Paul wants the eyes of our hearts open so we know what Christ has called us to and also what He has promised to us. He goes on to talk about, we know that Jesus Christ died for us. God raised Him and He is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And then he goes on to tell us, and God has placed under Jesus' feet all things, and He has appointed Him to be the head of everything for the church. Jesus reigns in heaven gloriously now, and He will come again. And I think for most of us as Christians, the true understanding of who Jesus is much better than our poor, feeble human brains can comprehend. But the Bible tries to give us little glimpses. I talked about that beautiful hymn in Philippians chapter 2. It's maybe the oldest Christian hymn. We don't have the music anymore, but we've got the words. The oldest Christian hymn in existence. And Paul, as he talks about what it means to live for Jesus, he reminds us that Jesus, even though He was God's Son, He emptied Himself. He emptied Himself and became humble to death, even death on the cross. And then that slide you saw earlier already, what does Paul say? But God has exalted Him, and now at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Where? In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And what do those who are bowing their knees do? They acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. What's the big deal about Jesus? Well, the big deal about Jesus is a pretty big deal because Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's the big deal. That is worthy of a whoa. And that is worthy of an awesome. That's what Jesus is worthy of us. Worthy to and for in our lives. And that's why Christians are called to bow before Him. We're called to bow before Him in honor and glory, knowing who He is and how amazing He is. That's at the heart of today's gospel story. As Jesus tells the third story of the coming of the one called the Son of Man. And when He comes, you notice He comes in His glory. He comes with His angels. He comes seated on His throne of glory. This is not a small, humble arrival. And we are told that the King on His throne will separate all the peoples of the world, putting some on his right and some on his left as a shepherd separates his sheep from his goats. And then he will say to the ones who were on the right, good job, guys. Good job. And he goes through this wonderful laundry list of what they've done. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I didn't have anything to wear and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you visited me. I was a stranger and you said hi and took me in. I was in prison and you came and you visited me. And they will say, well, when did we do that, Lord? And he will say, whenever you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. Christians, we are called to care for others. That's the hallmark of how we worship our King. We don't bow down to him like this. We bow down to him in acts of service and kindness and love and worship. The way we treat others is a reflection of the way we honor our King, Jesus. We can never forget that. When a child is baptized, when an adult is baptized, the parents of children make promises. And one of the promises they make is that they will help their child grow in faith. Why? So that they may lead a godly life until when? Until the day of Jesus Christ. We make a commitment to love and serve God until that day, whenever it might come when He returns. When we affirm our baptisms, we make a promise that we will love and serve all people, following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we will love and serve God by loving and serving others in His name. That's what we are about in the church. That's what this is about today. Operation Christmas Child is not just doing nice things for kids across the ocean who don't have gifts. It's not about us patting ourselves on our back and saying, oh, isn't this nice? Look what I did. This is about us bowing our knees before Jesus because He said, take care of others. And when we do this, we acknowledge that we are serving our King Jesus. When we have our coat drive for all peoples, when we have our collection of shoes or boots for the kids out at Pine Ridge Reservation, we are bowing our knees, even if we maybe don't think about it all the time. We are bowing our knees before our King Jesus and saying, we honor you and worship you. Yesterday, our ninth graders, they provided the meal for Big Brother's Big Sister's Christmas party. They fed about 60 little kids and adults over at the Family Enrichment Center. And they weren't just doing a nice thing and slapping out sloppy joes and chips. I hope they realized they were bowing their knees before Jesus Christ and serving others in His name. In 2 weeks from now, our 7th and 8th graders are going to go out after church and they're going to buy Christmas gifts with their own money. Christmas gifts for the residents of Losada. They're not just having a youth group activity. I hope they understand that that is the way we learn to bow our knee before Jesus and care for others. Why? Because Jesus says, truly I tell you, whenever you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. That's how we serve our King. That's how we bow before our King Jesus. When we love and care for others in His name, we are showing the honor and reverence we give to Him. And what does the King say to those who show their reverence that way? Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Christians do not do good works in order to earn our way into heaven. We don't do that. We do good works because we know that God has already saved us through Jesus Christ. Paul says to those Ephesians, you will receive what is your inheritance. You don't earn an inheritance. It's given to you. But we do these things because we love the Lord and we serve the Lord. We live lives like this because we know Jesus has done everything for us. As I said yesterday, we had the funeral service for Gladys Raminger. And those of you who knew Gladys, you knew what a woman of faith she was. Bible teacher here at church for 30 years. Faithful as could be. Loved the Lord up until the end. I saw her just a few days before she died. She was over at Cedar Springs, and she was not feeling good, and she was worn out, and she was ready to go and be with her Lord and her King. And she had a smile on her face when she said that. Because she knew. She knew what Jesus meant to her. And she knew what it meant to be his child, and his servant. Every time we say these words in the Lord's Prayer, we're remembering this belief. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we love and serve in Jesus' name, we are doing his will on earth. We are bowing down in devotion to our God. At the end of his letter, we call 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, as he says farewell, he uses this word. It's an Aramaic word. It's in the language Jesus spoke, Maranatha. The translation is, Lord, come. Paul ends his letter to the Corinthians by praying that our Lord will come. Today, 2,000 years later, we still have that same prayer, Maranatha, Lord, come. And as we say that prayer, I truly do pray that every one of us means it, and that we will bow our knees before Jesus, that we will love him, that we will worship him, that we will give our lives for him, that we will care for others in his name. Why? Because he's our king, and he is worthy of such honor and devotion. I'm going to end my sermon today, with a prayer. Prayer of blessing for these boxes, that they may go across the world to places we don't know where they're going, to people we do not know who will receive them. But as they go, they will go not just as Christmas gifts for boys and girls, but they will go as a testimony of our love and our devotion to our King Jesus. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take these Christmas boxes, which will be joined with millions more from your believers around this country, and you will send them overseas as a gift. A gift not just to boys and girls for Christmas, but a gift to you, to honor you, to praise you, to give you glory for all you have done for us. Lord, may each one of us, every day of our lives, bend our knees before you, thanking you, honoring you, and worshiping you, because you are our Lord, you are our Savior, and you are our King. Amen.